Live in our studio is our program director, Roland Young, and myself, Eric Bauerfeld. We're going to have a few words about the possible sensitive use of language in literature, contemporary, classic, or wherever. Roland.
I should preface all this by saying that what we're involved in right now at KPFA is a overhauling of our programming, overhauling of our format, and an overhauling of our content, both in terms of what the content is and how the content is presented to you, the listener. And one of the main things we want to eliminate from our programming is all racist programming and all sexist programming, totally. And for this to be a radio station that is, in fact, a real alternative to the other radio stations that exist in the area. And we feel that it's very necessary for us to do that. The reason we're coming on now at this particular moment with this is the reading that has been going on for the last four mornings has contained within it some characterizations that I personally have felt certain problems with, and also a listener called and expressed the same problem with this particular characterization. And the issue involved is racism and the portrayal of ethnic groups in literature. We feel that this is a very, very important matter, and since most of the literature that most of us are familiar with either contains within it either implicit or explicit sexism or racism, not to speak of all the other things that are involved, we want to eliminate that in the future. This program was scheduled prior to me becoming the program director. And in the future, I hope to have a closer rein on the content of the programs that go on over the air. But the program is on, and it has run, and I've had certain problems with it. And unfortunately, we do not have the reader of the program here with us to discuss this from her particular point of view. But I felt that there was definite racism involved in the characterization, and would just like the listeners to know that we do not intend to perpetuate this in any of our programming, no matter what program it may be, no matter what time of day it may be in the future. And we want to eliminate this totally from the air. And we had hoped that this would be more of a debate situation, but it's turning out to be more of a discussion with you. If you would like to participate in this and give your opinions on this and how you feel about us moving in this direction, you can call us at 848-4425 and we can discuss that with you. Eric Bauerfeld is the drama and literature director and is the person who is intricately involved with the literature here at the station. And we've had several discussions about this very issue. And we all know the problems involved with literature historically, and that a lot of people who write think on a conceptual level, but really when it comes to the actual scientific use of the language, I feel there's a great lag in that particular area. But it's not just true of those who write, it's just that when you write something down, it's easier to pinpoint your shortcoming. And when you're playing an instrument, you can hide more behind the notes, and people really don't know exactly where you're coming from. So literature and the spoken word becomes much more easy to pinpoint the shortcomings of it. We have some calls, or we did have some. Okay, let's take calls. Okay. Hello? Punch us up. We're not being punched up. There is.
While we're waiting, I think what's interesting, one of the many interesting things about this is the
hello.
Debatability of this.
Okay, are we on now?
Case.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes, hello, listener.
Yes.
Would you like to comment on what I've been talking about?
Well, I feel that you shouldn't try and control it too carefully, because it'll turn into more of a fascist thing if you do.
Why do you say that?
Well, because what's written is extant, you know, and it represents a slice down the strata of time, you know, and you want to show that slice like a sample, you know, of geological nature, and not try and edit in, you know, in retrospect, because I feel that the listeners, or that the mind, can handle those differences, you know? I mean, we understand where it's coming from, in other words.
So from your point of view, it's all right for us to do programming that is explicitly racist and sexist from your point of view, and that the listeners, you think, can handle that?
Yeah, that's the essence of it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to make one point about this, and that is, in some cases, we all agree that sexism, racism, and some of the other isms is not a thing to continue or to expose anyone to without the added ammunition of critical thinking about it. If we recite Mother Goose, Jack and Jill, that is kind of sexist because Jack comes before Jill. We play cards, the king is higher than the queen, and so on. Well, it's hard to wipe all these things out of our culture, but we can add to our exposure and our use of the popular arts a critical attitude or understanding of them, and that makes us all the stronger, all the more able to cope with not only that situation, but situations that come up. And one rather crucial thing about the story in question is its debatableness. Was this a racist story? The main accusation is that one of the leading characters is Jewish and is old, and is referred to as the old Jew. Now, that could be implied in a very nasty way, and it could be simply a description. And if our listeners have been hearing the story and are sensitive in this way, we'd certainly like to know whether you think that the story that you're listening to this week is indeed racist. One of our favorite Jewish persons here at the station listened to it a little while ago and said, well, what's it? And I said, well, listen. And she listened and she said, well, is the character Jewish? And he says, yes. And is it old? Yes. And well, what else are you going to call him? I'm Jewish. I'm old. I wish I wasn't.
But he was not.
So but she did not regard this as a...
Yeah.
And worries greatly that an oversensitivity may do more harm than the opposite. And that's, of course, what we're concerned about.
And we also confronted with a problem, too, that because a person is Jewish doesn't mean that they're going to always be totally sensitive to racism. Just because you're a woman doesn't mean you're going to be totally sensitive to sexism or anything of that nature. It is the issue in point is that the person was referred to as an old Jew, and none of the other people were referred to by their ethnic origin in any kind of way, except a person who was Swedish was referred to as a Swede in the play, in the story, rather, the second installment.
There's an old Swede in O'Neill's play about the Glen Cairn, and he gets called the old Swede numerous times, but it's hardly a racist comment by O'Neill, I think.
Well, but in this case, it's certainly a debatable question. We have some other callers on the line. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, would you speak up, please?
Hello? Am I on the line?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I'm John Whiting. I used to be program producer and production director at that station years ago in prehistory. I happened to be back in town and was listening with great interest to the discussion and the debate. And to inject a voice from the past, it seems to me that KPFA always dealt with the problems of prejudice of all sorts, not by attempting to eliminate all mention of them from the air, but rather by open and free discussion in which all people were free to express viewpoints of whatever persuasion. And if you get into a situation in which you attempt to eliminate everything that is possibly controversial, you get trapped in exactly the sort of dead end that commercial radio gets into, in which offensiveness is eliminated at the expense of blandness. And in order to combat ideas that one considers objectionable, they have to be allowed a certain freedom of expression. And in order to not to drag this on too long, I'd like to go back to the way that Mort Saul used to end his programs over at Hungry Eye when he was first starting out with the lovely question, is there anybody here I haven't offended?
Well, I understand what you're saying. I think there's a difference, however, in controversial material and material that is definitely sexist or definitely racist, because just to present something and not to have any kind of commentary around it or any kind of debate or any kind of explanation is for the station to at least implicitly support that. And I think that's a problem. I'm not in I'm not at all trying to eliminate controversial programming at all from the air, but I'm trying to eliminate that programming which basically has a negative aspect to it, which would be in these particular cases sexism or racism. Eliminate that and just not present programs that just are that without us in any kind of a way taking a position upon that. And I don't think that's necessarily the same as eliminating controversial material. But thank you for your input. We have some other callers. Okay. Hello? Hello? No, try another one. Try the top. Okay. Hello, you're on the air?
Yes, hello. I am very much in agreement with what Mr. Bowersfeld was saying, and also the two previous callers. I also really feel like I should take issue with the interpretation of the portrayal of the old Jew, as he's called in this story, as being an offensively racist portrayal. You have to remember that these words are spoken by the person telling the story. This is a characterization and doesn't necessarily therefore imply that this is the author's point of view. And you have to see literature or hear it if it's read in this way. If you're listening to the story and you understand the way the person is being presented, this man actually is a very sympathetic character. He's the one true friend that this opera singer had. And even though the other people, the young men who we've seen in the story are somewhat insensitive to people in general and to the opera singer as well, and their insensitivity toward him and just seeing him as an old Jew is to be expected. This is just a realistic characterization. And if you're going to take a sort of simplistic attitude that anything that comes up in literature has to be excluded from the air, if it's in any way racist or sexist, then you're going to eliminate something like Uncle Tom's Cabin, which uses, say, racism to teach a lesson that racism is wrong. So
I completely agree with you if the literature does make that point.
Who's making the judgment on the literature?
Well, you're making the judgment, so I think I can make it too. If the literature itself explicitly makes the point about the racism or the sexism or whatever particular is involved, that's a different issue. If it just kind of lays it out there and it does not do that, one could also interpret that as just perpetuating that as well. And that's the problem that I'm dealing with.
Yes, but there's a difference between the way in which things are laid out, say, in a discussion of something or in an essay, than the way it's laid out in a work of art. Sometimes the artist makes his point, and most effectively, by not, in the sense that you're saying, making the point. If you read the story, there's a marvelous story by Dostoevsky called Gentle Creature, which is probably the most devastating sexist writings you could read. But Dostoevsky is not saying that we should be like this man. He's making the lesson as vivid and dramatic as possible, that this kind of a person is not only objectionable, but understandable.
Yeah, he's undermining the point of view character himself and showing that this point of view is unacceptable. Then, taken on one level, this story might be offensive to someone who doesn't understand the mode of presentation.
Well, but you see, I think there's a thin line, too, and as to whether or not the literature is really doing that. And what I'm talking about is when the literature is not doing that.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that in this story, though.
Okay.
I think that this is, that there is not offensive racism in this story.
Okay, thanks for your call. We have a couple more callers, and we're running out of time. Let's try to get to them if we can. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm very interested in what you have to say, but going back to the previous callers, how do you decide when something is perpetuating racism as against merely setting out the state of mind of the particular character?
Well, it would depend on the sensitivity of the person making the decision.
And well, that's it. You seem to me to be very political, but are you that aware or that sensitive to the essence of this question,
and the essence
is
of what
is racism being perpetuated, or is the state of consciousness being revealed of a particular character or of a situation?
My listening to the particular story involved, it didn't seem to me as though racism was being undermined but more perpetuated.
Well, you know,
that's my opinion about this.
Who listened to Stevie Wonder's "Living for the City," mm-hmm. and at one point the character says, I mean, in the writing there is, it says she was black but comely. He said that's not right. She was black and comely. Stevie Wonder made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Stevie Wonder is dealing with the thoughts of this man, where he was, how he saw things.
Yeah, but you see these are issues that we all have to grapple with, and.
But how are you going to grapple with? I mean, what?
Well, I'm doing it right now. I think you see how I'm going to. I'm doing it. I'm coming on the air. I'm talking to people. I'm letting people express their opinion, and I'm expressing mine. That's one of the ways I intend to grapple with it.
But you seem to already have your mind made up that you say you're going to rid KPFA of this.
Yeah, my mind is made up on wanting to rid KPFA of any kind of programs that perpetuate sexism or racism, those two and others, but those two specifically. My mind is definitely made up about that.
A grand words, but how do you really do that, in fact?
Well, the process is beginning right now by this particular story. Another way would have been to have just taken it off the air, you see.
Well, I think rather than take it off the air, wouldn't it be better, as one caller said, to discuss it?
We are discussing it.
What?
I mean, I'm not sure what you're saying, because we are discussing it, and this is...
I mean, to have it as a regular feature, if there's something that bothers the programmer...
Well, we're starting this. We're doing it right now.
Rather than, I'm saying, to have that mm-hmm. As a continuing thing, rather than the elimination of something that doesn't sit well with you. Because, you know, just as you said, one person's racism may be another person's accurate characterization of a situation.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you saying that.
I think
trying to say, how, you know, you need to, you know, your sentiments are noble, but you may do more harm than you do good.
You might, in fact, be throwing the baby out with the dishwater.
That's right, you see.
Well, if you have other babies that aren't in dishwater, then it may be okay. We have to go on to another caller. Thank you for calling in. I tell you that you're listening to all three stations, KPFA at 94.1 FM in Berkeley, KPFB at 89.3 FM in Berkeley, and KFCF at 88.1 in Fresno. And we have a lot of...
Yeah, I thought the dialogue was fascinating. I think this is a very good start, and I support your intent extremely. Mm-hmm. I think it's the intent is noble.
I'm glad to hear that.
And I enjoyed the dialogue, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We have another caller. We have to stop in about 2 minutes and make room for our calendar of events. So if there's one more caller, we'll take that, and we'll move on.
It's the new news, Roland.
No, there's no more new news.
There's no more
new
news?
No, the new news was dropped about 2 months ago.
No new news?
No new news.
Oh.
Hello, you're on the air. Is there a caller?
Hello?
Yes.
I don't think the story's racist, and all I wanted to say is I think you're being too pure and too idealistic, and I'd like to know what you would do in the case of someone like Wagner. Would you never play his music anymore because of his anti-Semitism? Or what would you do with a writer like Proust, who is anti-Semitic, but who is a great artist also? And I'd just like to hear your answer to that.
All right, those are very good questions. I can't give pat answers to them. What I intend to do is deal with programming in the future that I consider to be just perpetuating things that we feel to be negative, and do not point them out. And I'll have to deal with them as a creative way as I can. And I have no pat answer or pat formula or pat solution to deal with them. It's a process that all of us here at the station will have to deal with together. And I just plan to initiate that and make people conscious of that.
Well, I think it's a good idea, but I think that if you try to be too pure, you're going to end up with nothing, with empty hands. And I think what Eric said about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, you know, was really what you're going to end up with.
Yeah, but like I said, some babies are not in the dishwater, and we have to look at that situation as well. Thank you for your call, though.
Okay.
I think that one thing that our listeners are expressing, and that we, too, would share, is that any form of censorship has a problem in that it's there's an awful lot not being done because of one or a few people's particular view, and that's very difficult. We know what trouble censorship gets into when it's based on a particular point of view in the past. There's witch hunting, and we've lived through an awful lot of that. And it's usually done in the name of something very good and very noble. But when it deals with the arts, it sometimes does far, far more harm than when it's dealing with simply statements that people make or things, essays, that sort of thing. And that's, I think, if we take this a little bit further, a thing that we'd like to develop, we've talked this over between us and some very interesting discussions on the popular arts as compared with the fine arts. The fine arts are much too complex to be easily interpreted as saying anything. If you look at, say, a Picasso mural on Guernica, if you say think that that is saying that war is hell, you haven't seen the whole thing. They're the same way with the atrocities of war of Goya. There's a fascination in many of those things with torture and horror, and that's part of the richness and mystery and fascination and effectiveness of arts as compared with other kinds of expression.
I'd just like to add a footnote to that and say that there is a certain problem that can arise around censorship. I look at censorship as being neutral, and it depends on how you apply it as to whether or not it's useful or not.